enjoying our music. Hey, hey, hey. You know what? Welcome, welcome, welcome to CNC Chat Chat. I'm your host. I'm one of them, at least. Cardelia Reed. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here.
Yes, and I'm Claudia DiMartino, and CNC Chat Chat is based off of our names, Cardelia and Claudia, Claudia and Cardelia. We bounce back and forth, but she does the opening so well. Welcome, welcome, welcome every week. I love it. And this show, CNC Chat Chat, is all about just chatting about life issues from a biblical perspective. Here we have no masks. There's no pretense. There's no script. It's just us keeping it real because that's the only thing we know how to do. And we discovered we know how to talk too. So,
well, you know, speaking of keeping it real, I've got a piggyback off the last episode. Yeah. This is character refinement part two,
and it's the content of character.
Yeah, content of character. Oh yeah. My God! So, Claudia, you said something. Okay, you gave an example of being angry. Mm-hmm. You were just irritated. Mm-hmm. Traffic. You couldn't take it anymore. Obviously, for her to get to that point, something else was deeper going on, which we all know that, which she talked about a little bit about. But there's something else that we want to talk about with principalities. So Colossians 3:8, I'm going to start the 8th verse. But now you must also, and I was kidding in the first one, but now I'm going to say it seriously. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with this practice, because you talked about the old self before, and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of the Creator, which you talked about that too in the first one.
Yep.
Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all.
Amen.
And that's all we see. So in principalities or genetics, what we call them, I just recently heard, well, I love Dr. Gershom. I hate to just say his name, but I have to say it because this man is amazing to me. He's talked about how anything genetic is demonic. And we don't realize how filthy language, rage, anger. I can laugh and say that because I've been there. I know many of us have. And we still are, especially in this day post-COVID. Because right now there's so many more demons on the earth that have been released than before, even though it's going to get to more. But when we have these things on our lips, we grow up in the households with rage. We grow in household with people just constantly offended, gossiping, talking about each other. When I was growing up, it was nothing just to call each other names. If you got offended, you just called someone out of their name. You became verbally abusive. That's what it is. We became verbally. So when I got married, naturally, what did I do? When I got upset, I became verbally abusive. This is stuff that's naturally in our flesh, and it makes us feel horrible. Why on earth do we do it? You know why? Because we have no idea who Jesus is. That's the only reason.
But also with that, you know, I come from an Italian background.
Yes.
Brooklyn, New York. And if I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. I'm Italian. I get angry. I have a temper.
I've heard that a lot, definitely. Like, And you said it so well. Spoken like a true Italian.
And I feel like I'm safe because I'm from the ancestry, okay?
Absolutely.
But no.
Right. No, thank you.
I grew up in a household with a lot of anger and yelling and screaming, and it was just part of the DNA. It was part of who we are, and just live with it. No. When we accept Christ, there's another way.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's peace, joy, love in the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I have a scripture here from James 1:19, which says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." And we have two ears and one mouth. So we should be listening double to what we speak. It's just the way
Absolutely.
It is.
You know, I'm going to take this a step further. There's something I said earlier in the, I gave a previous example. Now you're going to have to go back and listen to the first one. We're going to keep you addicted to this, okay? But I talked about how the Lord told me to pray for someone and it looked like that person's prayers were answered and mine's weren't. Well, one of the things I found myself, I accepted what, I always accept what the Holy Spirit tells me. But then the next day I was having a bad day. And my mind, I went back to that moment again where this person looked like their prayers were answered and mine were not. And I told the Lord, why do I always have to be the best example? Why do I have to? Why me? And so the Lord, you know, that is, I know you can relate. But the Lord said to me, he said, "This is the plan I have for that person's life. This is the plan I have for you. for her life, she's still learning what you already know. I said, you never realize. I said, Lord, can you wait and be patient? Because that's the character of the Lord. And you don't want to do it. You just want to, you know. But now that you know that, it takes that process of refinement. The darkness has to leave in order to even get to that point. Co-host, you know, lovely co-host, talk to me.
You know, it was funny. You're talking about anger and stuff like that. And we're all guilty.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm going to reference a major figure in the scriptures.
Okay.
King David.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Now, King David was called a man after God's own heart. But he had a few flaws. And literally, he... I'll give two examples.
Yeah.
He was not king yet. Yeah. And the king at the time, King Saul, was chasing after him, wanted him to kill him, because he knew that David was anointed by the prophet that he would be king.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul was not too happy about that.
Absolutely.
So he was chasing them all over the place to kill him. Well, David was running from Saul, but Saul was in a cave and he was sleeping, and David came upon him.
Yeah.
David had the opportunity to kill Saul at that moment.
Absolutely.
But David recognized that he was king, that Saul was king.
Mm-hmm.
And he did have an anointing on him to be king.
That's right.
Granted, he was king for 20 years, and he was anointed for only 2 years, and the other 18 years, he was not exactly living for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David was described in Scripture as a ruddy man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, red hair, and all that, but also ruddy is a word for anger.
Yep.
He was a man of anger. And he saw King Saul there.
Right.
And he could have went, cha-kong, but he didn't. But what he did do, he took his knife and rent the corner of King Saul's garment.
Absolutely.
He ripped it. Now, we go, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
Well, to God, that was a big deal. Because David was called to be king.
Absolutely. That's so good.
And he needed to use self-control over that anger.
Right.
Now, I want to reference out of Psalm 51 what David cried out to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Now, this is now, he had an affair with Bathsheba.
Right.
She's had got a baby. The baby's not doing too well, and he's crying out to the Lord right now in Psalm 51, verses 1 through 3. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me of my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me.
Wow, 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 wow.
He knew that he was a sinner.
Oh, absolutely.
And he needed to go and prostrate himself before God. Now, the big reveal for those who don't know scripture, the baby died.
Yeah.
And
my God.
From that, King David got up and he went to wash himself and move on with life.
Yeah, because he was fasting. He wanted to die.
Yeah, and people wanted to, how could you do that? The baby's died. He said, I've already gone before the
Lord.
This is the result of what I did.
Right.
Kind of thing. And he moved on. But the key thing is, he, man after God's own heart, recognizing his sin, a man of anger, a man of many sins, but he wanted a clean heart before God.
King David was just so important because the lineage of Jesus, you know.
Yes.
He had to get it right. And that was the thing. He had a heart for the Lord. But you know, one of the things, let me talk about this, because I love what you said about the garment. He rent the garment.
Yeah.
Because we've always focused on the fact that we were just so thankful that he didn't kill Saul.
Yep.
That he was just so great. But no, he still had something. Nick. He went, and you know, he didn't just, I'm just going to do a little piece. No, he went, Nick. And, you know, because he was angry. And I could just, you know
yeah,
he
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
It's so funny because, but one of the things that I love the most about King David, when he had his affair with Bathsheba, which we don't quite understand this part, he went about his life until Nathan showed up. Hello, you messed up.
Yeah.
You better own this right now.
Exactly.
And he didn't even acknowledge that until Nathan showed up. He goes, I messed up. But the next part is he spent a long time crying out to God.
Yes.
I mean, a long time repenting. It was one of those things that had to happen. You know what I mean? We don't like the fact that he killed Bathsheba's husband, but it had to happen, like you said earlier, for character refinement. So if King David messed up, didn't repent, somebody got to come and say, oh, you messed up. And then he spent a long time crying out to God. Imagine us. Imagine us. Exactly. My God. I mean, honestly, imagine you. Yes, he didn't even have the blood of Jesus at that time. So we got it even easier.
Right.
Think about that. Exactly. We have more wisdom, we should have less anger than King David, a whole lot more than Solomon. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just have so much more because of the blood of Jesus. But at this time, we're seeing a man who cried out so much till he went down in history.
But also think about what you just said, King Solomon. King Solomon was David's son, and he took over the kingdom when David passed on. Mm. But kingdom had the one thing he asked the Lord for was wisdom.
Absolutely.
And he asked for the greatest gift.
Right.
So he had wisdom. He built the kingdom greater than anyone could imagine.
Right.
The wealth, an unbelievable wealth, was it's hard to describe.
Unbelievable.
But
absolutely.
What was his failing?
Ooh.
He loved women. Lots and lots of women.
He was like his daddy a little
and
bit.
He brought in pagans into the goddesses into the king into the palace, had children with them. He was breaking down the very kingdom that God built.
Yeah.
Now, as David cried out to purify himself, God is interested in our hearts.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes, we want stuff. Yes, God says, I will bless you. Yes, God says that, you know, abundant life, as I said in the scripture in the last episode. Mm-hmm. But he is more concerned about our hearts.
Yes.
And I firmly believe this because God has plans for us. And he wants us to come into the plans he has. And it's a step-by-step process to get there, but he wants to break off those things that are not of him.
Absolutely.
And he says in Isaiah 64:8, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay and you are the potter, and all we are the work of your hand.
Mm.
So think about a potter with the clay, mushing the clay, molding the clay, squeezing the clay, getting that shape. That's what the Lord is doing with us. And we have to be willing to, as I said, to let him happen. But in Hebrews 10:22, it says, let us draw near to God with sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water.
Oh my gosh. You know what? And this is why you made me think about James 1, when he talks about James 1 verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face diverse trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let the perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. The truth is we go through a problem. We just want it to end quick. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I have yet to have a problem where I start jumping up and down and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm having this problem. Thank you, Jesus. No. I have yet to have that problem. However, when we talk about character refinement and being on the potter's wheel, who created the clay? The Lord. Mm-hmm. Who created the wheel? The Lord. Who started the process of spinning? The Lord. Who created the problems for you to be developed and be more like him? The Lord. You just can't get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a deep process. And we're talking about the different dimensions of the Lord because people think, why would a good God do blah, blah, blah? Because that's the Lord who made you in the image of his son.
Amen.
I'm going to have to, this is when we have to drill in even to ourselves because if he made us like the image of his son, our character has to be like the image of his son. So that is, I know when you get the Mike Tyson punch out of trials and tribulations, trust me, I get it. The last thing you can think is Jay, let alone Jesus. I get it. But remember this, for those of us who believe, the process is to be like Jesus. Mm-hmm. There is no problem he can't solve because he's right here in you. Christ in me, the hope and glory. So think about that. And also for you non-believers, where do you go when you have a problem? Okay, you can't go to self because that hasn't worked. Yeah. You can't go to friend, they may not be there. You have to think higher as to where you're going to go when you have a problem. And I have yet to see Baal or, I don't know, I have no idea who idol gods are, but they don't work either. Because they had no blood, they haven't died, and they're definitely not still alive right now. No. So if you worship a God who is dead, it has not worked for you either. Yeah. And I'm not here to criticize. I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. All I know is that you definitely have trials and tribulations. So you have to think about where do you want to go to get freedom? Jesus came to set us free.
Yeah.
That's what's important.
But, you know, also Jesus said that in this world you will have tribulation.
Oh, absolutely.
But I have overcome the world.
That's right. That's right.
But there is a reason we go through stuff.
Yes.
And, you know, in Romans 8, he says, you know, God works all things together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose.
Absolutely.
But we go through. But yet we come out if we depend on the Lord, if we go to him. Mm. Now, in this is one of my favorite scriptures. It's Romans 5:3-5.
Okay.
Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings. I'm still trying to figure out how that's possible. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance.
Right.
Perseverance, character, and character,
that's
hope.
So good. Yes.
And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. He's our advocate.
Absolutely.
He's our teacher. He's our friend.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we're not in this alone.
Right. Right. It's very true. When I was driving here, I was thinking about how this world and how everybody wants to be liked on social media. Everybody wants to be seen on something. Everybody wants recognition because this world has been so accustomed to not feeling important. Well, unless you've conquered the universe, you're still dust and ashes. Like Job said, I repent in dust and ashes. We are dust and ashes. Let's just get accustomed to that. We have something in us that's not. That is the one thing you want to get key to because that's what gives you the power and the glory. You know, nothing, all this witchcraft and witch doctors and all this, people really are falling to this stuff right now because they have no power in God's word. They have no belief. So the witch doctors pray on us. I have no idea why this came up, but it's in my spirit. The witch doctors are praying on these people and God is saying he has all the power. This is why it gets really quiet when we say Jesus. So I believe there's somebody watching us right now that really needs to hear this. But this is still a character refinement process if you think about it. What I'm saying to you is this. You don't have to be like the world. This is for non-believers or believers in other gods. You don't have to be like the world. No matter how much money you have, you're finding that's not working. No matter where you've gone, you find like that place isn't good enough. No matter, you can't get enough of social media. You can have like 15 million followers. That's not enough.
Yeah.
It's not enough. I have, even that last quote you read about Steve Jobs, did he say, somebody go get my $1 billion for me, let's just look at it one more time before I get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, he never said that. So what I am saying to you is, what this world offers is not enough. It's not. And the flesh wants to stay in this world because that's where it's going to go.
Yeah.
Go somewhere that's eternal.
And to that point,
yes.
Scripture says we're to be in the world, but not of the world.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. But this is very real to me in the sense of I've been called to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Now, it's a challenge. It really is. Because Hollywood is very worldly. Okay, let's be real.
Really, I hadn't noticed.
I'm going to use an example that happens in Hollywood.
Please.
So many come here looking to fulfill their dreams, and it breaks my heart, get caught up in drugs and alcohol and perversion, and you name it.
It's disturbing.
But when they're coming up and then everybody idolizes them and they're the greatest things
absolutely.
In sliced bread and blah, 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 and they're great. Then when they start going through the debauchery that has right. Hollywood has led them right. to, all of a sudden they're abandoned, they're the worst things, yep. they yep. should be kicked to the curb and blah, 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 blah,
and they
blah.
May go jump off the bridge.
You know, it's like, yeah. it's insanity.
Absolutely.
And it happens over and over again. Are we going to listen to what man says about us
That's
or
good.
What we can be? Or are we going to listen to the truth of what God says, that his word does not return void, that his word, his the scriptures are foundational for us, and they form in us the vision we have for ourselves because it's Christ.
Absolutely. That's so good.
And even yeah. though we feel like we're not there yet, it's like he's not moving fast enough.
Right.
You know, when we try
character
to
refinement,
when we yeah, yes. when we try to move in,
yeah.
it gets messed up.
Oh, it's
terrible.
Just
that simple.
Terrible.
So we create the mess, and God doesn't have to fix it. I mean, we made it.
Fix it. Yeah, we
but
messed it up.
But are we going to go to the Lord and repent?
Amen.
And say, Lord, I'm so sorry I got ahead of you. I'm so sorry
That's
for
so
what
good.
I've created. Please help me. Character refinement.
That is so good.
We are in this for the long haul. This is not a microwave religion. This
good.
Is a lifestyle. This is permanent. This is not fleeting. This is a call to action.
That's good.
To not be children anymore, to be tossed to and fro with whatever the world throws at us. It's to get grounded. And the scripture says we're to feed, no longer feed on milk, but meat. Babies take milk. Adults take meat. Are we going to chew on the truth and face who we are so we can get fixed and grow and come into this magnificent, majestic creation, the new creation that God created us to be, so that we can be the light of Jesus in the world, so we can be that shining example in the world, and that we can cast out the enemy from trying to hurt us anymore, from trying to take what the Lord has given us, because we are in Jesus, have authority.
In the
name of Jesus.
Okay, you know, I got something to tell you. Okay, this
Go
is prophetic
it.
Time. We got witches and warlocks watching this show right now.
Okay, go for it.
And this is what I'm talking about. The word gives us power. It's nothing the devil can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Even the devil recognizes what's written. But he wants to make sure we know what's in us.
Yeah.
This is why character refinement is important.
Mm-hmm.
Because the devil is looking to take your power. The devil is lying to the witches and warlocks. Because they believe... What in the world are they going to have a special place in hell? That sounds ridiculous. I know some of you are laughing, but they are believing something. This is a very big problem. I want you to understand something. This is why character refinement is so important. There are those of us who are prey. We're targets. Claudia and I, myself, both have been hit by witchcraft. We're targets for the devil. It doesn't mean he was successful.
No.
Okay?
No.
The devil tries. Doesn't mean he's going to work. All right? So for you who are out there watching this thinking, you can trap us. You can get us. Or the devil's lying to you thinking you can stay in this world and be free. There's no freedom. We're talking about bondage that you were in. We're talking about a world of lies you're believing. And we're talking about the power you don't have. Okay? I don't care if you've levitated at 2 a.m. in the morning. I don't care if you've seen a spell work. That world only imitates what the power of the Lord can do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why we're here, because we want people, this is a generation of people that are powerful for the Lord. And we're going to see things the world has never seen. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. No human mind can conceive the plans the Lord has for those who love him. So just you wait. When your eyes see it, you will believe it.
Amen.
And that is for God to get the glory. That's for the salvation of more souls before the rapture returns in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus overcame the world.
Sorry, I had to put that in there.
No, I'm glad you did.
Absolutely.
Jesus overcame
Absolutely.
The world.
Yes.
He died on that cross. And when he died on that cross, hell
yeah.
thought it won. But
Absolutely.
He rose again in 3
yeah.
days.
Yeah.
Because he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
every knee and every tongue must bow to the name of Jesus, because he is God.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And with that said,
yeah, we're down.
I mean, we're down. We're, well, time goes fast.
I feel like I'm the timekeeper here, but you know what? This is why we got to keep you tuned. We got to keep you tuned. We got to keep you in tune to whet your palate for the next one.
Exactly.
So with I still didn't get my book.
You know, it's funny though, because I just feel that be open to be changed.
Yes, that's good. Absolutely.
Be open to
that's
be create a new
message.
Creation.
Yes, open your
be
mind.
Be open to see and look hard in the mirror at who you are, because God has to, wants to transform you, which I discuss in my book, My Wall Is Red, A Memoir and Discovery. I'm raw. I'm open, because it's available on Amazon, but I go into depth as how I had to break down the walls by the power of the Holy Spirit to see how God sees me. And I ask in the name of Jesus that the scales come down from your eyes and you see Jesus today as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he is your Savior. He is your righteousness. He is everything to you. And as I said, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you've been fighting him, if you've been arguing that you're not God, I ask you by the power of the Holy Spirit, is not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, that the Spirit convict you to get on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I acknowledge you as Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Change me. Make me that new creation in Christ. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. And we give God all the glory.
Amen. Whoa. We see you next time. Oh, amen. How powerful that is. Amen. We see you next time. Amen. Thank you.